world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, going to take some communion today, so make sure you go get the elements. If you don't, I'll stall a little bit of time here for you. Why go do it? I got some really, really good news, and it's kind of personal. It's very personal, but I think it's worth announcing it publicly. Yesterday, our son Zach was finally, after how old is Zach? 41 years old, a long time. Our son Zach, 20 years ago, I think it was. I could have it wrong. Could be 18 years ago. Whatever. Was hit with a pornography charge, a child pornography charge. Child pornography being viewing pornography on someone under the age of 18. Now they call that kiddie porn, child porn, right? And those of you who get on the internet, I'm not making an excuse for anybody. Those of you who get on the internet know how available pornography is. I mean, right? It's just, we all know how it is, right? So what happened is our computer crashed. Zach was living at home. He was going to college and he was living at home. And the computer crashed. So I did what you normally do. You take a computer into the guy and the guy's going to fix the computer, says, hey, look, I found some stuff on there. I have to report to the police. I said, what was it? He told me what it was. I said, oh, okay. So me being good Mr. Citizen, I thought, well, I'm going to get ahead of this. I'm going to call the police myself. I'm going to and say, hey, we found this on our computer, yada, 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 yada. So I did that. And trying to be open and honest, this is 20 some years ago before I really understood what was going on in the world, right? So I called the police. They sent me to a detective or whatever. I can't remember. And I said, oh, come on in. Bring your son. Come on in. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. So we go in there and take my son in there. We meet with the detective. And after about 30 minutes of conversation with the detective, they came in and they cuffed my son and drug him off. If I'd had a gun, I'd have killed somebody. If I'd had a gun, I would have killed somebody at that point, probably the detective. So they throw him in jail for a couple, 3 days and charge him with pornography. And of course it ends up all over the news. Cause of me, come on, right? Come on, cause of me. And just kind of just freaking just destroyed. How would you like to have be known as a child molester, which is what they called him everywhere he went, because he looked at underage porn under the age of 18. Yada, yada. Anyway, not making an excuse. There, but for the grace of God, go I. Anybody say amen on that? So they did everything they could to destroy him. And Zach was in training to be a football coach and a special education teacher. And, of course, all that went out the window, as you can imagine. And he came to me after about 6 months. He said, Dad, I think I want to go to law school. I said, what? Now, you think I'm going to let you in? Well, miracle of miracles. He applied to Case Western. Zach was brilliant, always been brilliant. And Zach applied to Case Western Law School as a felony charge. They didn't put him in jail. They didn't sentence him. It wasn't that serious, really. I mean, it is. I'm not making an excuse. You understand what I am. I mean, there's child pornographers, and then there's a guy who looks at porn on his own computer. So the judge didn't sentence him to any time or anything like that. So I told Zach, you're not going to get in law school. Well, he applies to Case Western. It wasn't for me. Somebody told him, says, Zach, it was at mid-May. They said, Zach, go ahead and start applying some of these schools now. He said that none of them got their, they didn't get their classes full for the year, and they still need guys to come. Just go ahead and apply. And he applied to Case Western, one of the top law schools in America, Case Western University in Cleveland. And I'll be damned. They admitted him. They admitted him into law school. And he went through law school and he finished it near the top of his class. He's always been too smart. And then he gets the law degree, but they won't let him take the bar. Joe, you know how that is, or Eileen or Roger or any of them. They wouldn't let him take the bar. And so Zach's had a law degree for, I don't know, 10 years. And he, thank God for Roger Weaver. Roger gave Zach a job and let Zach do a lot of his legal work. Roger could come in and tell that story. Now, I'm not some dad patting my son on the back. The reality of it is, you know. And so Zach's applied two different times to be able to take the bar. And they wouldn't let him take the bar, yada, yada, yada. Well, this week, Zach finally has been approved to take the bar. Now, that may not be a big deal to you guys, but you can't be a lawyer. You can't be an attorney unless you are admitted into the bar. And he went before the bar a year and a half ago, and who knows why they wouldn't let him do it. I think there's some politics probably involved. They all know my name. They know, you know, make all kinds of excuses. Well, praise the Lord. We found out yesterday that he has been approved to take the bar, and that's just an answered prayer. That guy, that kid, man, he's been through it. A lot of it he deserves, but he's been through it, man. And if you think you want to try walking through life, try walking through life being called a sex offender. Try that one. And I've known all throughout the process that probably some of the lawyers and some of the guys charging him and some of the cops and some of those sitting on the bench probably have looked at child pornography too. Anybody give me a thumbs up? Do you think you're under the age of 18? Remember, under the age of 18. And when Zach was in court, they had 50 images on his computer. 50. Some of these guys have 50,000 images on their computers. He had 50. And it would never have happened if I hadn't reported him. So it is what it is. So Michelle and I, our family, thanks God today for opening that door for Zach. And he can run through that. And I thank Roger for standing with him, helping him get through it, all that. Amen. So good news here. Hey, don't forget the annual's coming up. Joe's going to do communion here in a second. Annual's coming up a week from today. A week from today. Mel's got a raised hand. She wants to make an announcement. Go ahead, Mel.
Good morning. So I just wanted to thank everybody who's participated in the Natural Family Month that wraps up this weekend on Father's Day. So make sure to collect those signs if you can, and because they were designed in a way that can be reused from year to year. So save those and, you know, put those out next year. Coach already mentioned the huddle, so I'll pass on that one. We've got the Natural Family Festival coming up in Wisconsin on June 29th. Mark your calendars for that. Stop Election Fraud with Dr. Frank. Bobby Lee's putting that on. And I think that's in Pennsylvania. And then Ohio Brett has the third annual 2024 Cape Cod Gathering, July 16th to the 19th in that area in Cape Cod. There's a free concert coming up on July 18th called Reclaim. There's some information about that on the Liberty Action Network website. And then Ohio Brett and Friends is doing their first annual concert on August 25th.
Hey, there we got a lot going on.
Keep going. Yep. Thank you.
Man, a lot going on, folks. Stay close to the Liberty Action Network. Mel keeps all that stuff updated for us. A lot going on, man. I'm just so honored that got so many of you guys, so many of you in the game. The annual week from today. Come on, get involved. Hey, by the way, just in case anybody was getting, you know me. I'm not afraid. People are going to be offended. Oh, I paid $59, and now you're letting people come for a dollar. Well, here's the truth. Nobody signed up for a dollar. Nobody did. So nobody out there got ripped off. But I still say it. If you want to come and you can't afford it, you let me know. And we have someone who will help take care of that for you. All right. Come on, man. Come and be part of it. Come and be part of it. Even if you can only come for a day. We'll work on a schedule. We'll let you know more of that on Monday. All right, cool. All right. I'm going to hand it off to Joe here. Joe, let's take Michelle and I have great, we rejoice today for the victory of our son over this wicked, wicked legal system that he's now going to be part of. Mary Beth has a hand up. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Is Mel still on? Because I can't put a family sign in my yard because I'm in an apartment, but I can put a flag up. Do they have flags?
We'll find out. We'll find out.
Okay, thanks.
Let's go. All right, cool. Let's go, Joe.
Yes, sir, Coach. Producer, can we? Oh, great. Here we go. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity, and unto iniquity even, so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness.
Mm.
What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?
Amen.
For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen, Joe. So let me jump in there with a little bit of a theology lesson before we go any further. Stop calling yourself a sinner. You cease from sin, folks. Because of the Holy Spirit of God, you now have the ability to say no to sin. Before you received Christ, you had no ability to do it. You couldn't do it. And now it's a choice. Sin is a choice. So when I run into people, they say, oh, I'm just a sinner. I sin every day. I scratch my head and say, man, I don't think I do. Now, wait a minute. Certainly we have things pop up, pride, and I get all that. But purposeful, active sin, I don't do much of that. You guys doing that? I'm trying not to do that. And if we say that we can no longer avoid sin, we can't say no to sin, then we deny the gospel. That's what I think. But that's that training they tell you, I'm just a sinner. I sin every day in thought, word, and deed. Do you? Well, stop it. By the way, I don't think thought is a sin. Acting on the thought is a sin. And somebody said it's like having a bird fly over your head and drop little pieces of poop on top of your head. You can let it hit your head, but you don't have to rub it into your hair. So the devil flies by. Things fly by, life happens, flesh happens, and you are tempted daily to do things that you don't want to do. But by the grace of God, you now have the ability to say no to sin. There's victory over sin. And I don't think we make that clear in the church. Some of you probably disagree with me right now. But I can choose to go out and run naked out through the yard, which would be a crime, or I could choose not to. I can choose to skip out of the restaurant without paying the bill, or I could choose not to. Sin now has become a choice. You do not have to sin. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you, Coach. Let's say a short prayer. And Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with gratitude in our hearts, gratitude for our hearts that are beating, our lungs that are full, and that we are gathered here together this morning, learning about you, learning how to be better disciples, learning how to be better ambassadors for Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we have an extra reason for gratitude in our hearts this morning, Lord, and that is because your young son, Zach, finally is being treated appropriately and he has become a righteous man, and he's being treated as such, and he's finally allowed to take a test to practice a profession that he has so long wanted to practice. And so, Lord, we are grateful for that, but we ask that you bless his practice and you bless his taking the bar and you bless his whole career, and that he make a huge difference, not only at his work and in his job, but in the whole region and perhaps the country. Because with that profession, sometimes when you drop a pebble in the water, it can go a long way to the other shore. So let him be an amazing, amazing professional led by the Spirit and by his heart. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask you this day to guide us through this Friday and through the weekend, and especially everybody gathered with Coach, and keep everybody safe in their travels, and let this be a weekend to remember, bringing brotherhood and sealing bonds and helping each other. There's so much good that comes out of these kinds of things. And let this be the best one so far. And Heavenly Father, you know our country, the situation it's in. But please help us to remember to walk by faith, not by sight. We know you are moving, and we know that what we see on the news are lies that are spun by a small coven of spiders, and it is not the truth. And let the truth come bursting out like a dam breaking. And let the truths bursting out cleanse all the places where lies have been, to take away those spider webs of lies and deceit. And so we ask, Lord, that you also help us to be brave and to take those steps and say those words that we normally wouldn't do, but we should do. And when we know we should do it, and the Spirit is telling us to do something, let us do what we are told to do and be obedient, Lord. And we'll see that that act of obedience is like throwing a rock into the ocean, and the waves will go to the other side. And so we are very grateful for what we are doing this morning for communion. Because it reminds us of what was done for us, and we cannot fathom to have a God that would give his only begotten Son, for you so loved the world, so that we who believe in him may have everlasting life. We can't understand how you could take such a decision and do such a thing, but we are grateful. And so now we ask you to forgive our sins and transgressions as we come into your sight and taking this holy meal that heals together. And if anyone has any ailments of the spirit or of their body, please let those be healed here with this meal that heals. And bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe. You know, I was thinking as Joe was going there, let me give you a challenge today. Try to find someone to purposefully be kind to. You know, it didn't cost anything to be kind. It didn't cost anything. Whether it's buying somebody's hamburger behind you at Wendy's in the drive-thru, whether it be going to Kroger, whatever it be. Try to find somebody and be kind to them today. You know, I'm not all mushy, all that kind of stuff, but I've seen the power of kindness. And I think you'll be blessed if you find somebody today to do something kind for. Go do that, all right? Amen. Amen. Did the hand go up? I heard something click. Go ahead, Craig.
And I would even say, Coach, find someone to pray for. Set your mind on them and pray for them.
There you go.
I believe we had intercessory prayer for your son a few months ago, right?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
And the Lord answered it. So praise God. Praise Amen. God for that. So find someone to set your mind, pray for them, pray for the Lord to move mightily in their life. And God will just watch what happens. And the other thing I just would also say, when we think about our walk with Christ, remember the guy that always had a knife back in the old days and he whittled? He got that stick and he was always whittling on it. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He whittles us down. He's mm-hmm. always improving on us, right? But he doesn't have to go back and start and whittle something unless we put something in there for him to whittle again, right? So as you're talking about right. walking in your sin and stuff like that. Yeah. But he's always whittling us to get us to a place a little bit more than where we are today. God
Amen.
Bless.
Amen. It's about serving, man. It's about serving. I want to play two quick things here today that go kind of go hand in hand with you. And it comes back to the last two nights I've gone and watched my grandchildren play ball. Except they don't really. David's a little bit better. He's seven. They get how to play. I go watch our granddaughters play ball. They don't even know how to play ball. I mean, they don't get it. But I went there and understood, number one, how important it was to them that I was watching. The grandpa was there. And number two, how quickly they grow. Can somebody say amen? How quickly they grow in this period of time that I'm watching my children raise children. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I remember when Maggie was that little kid. I remember when Abby was that little kid. And to realize how quickly, man, time passes, the passage of time, and how much of an opportunity we miss to get involved in the lives of those we love because we're busy doing other stuff. And I want to connect two things together here for you. Number one, number four, get number four of people. Why do people get divorced? You know, I can't think of anybody. I was teasing Michelle because we're yin and yang. You guys know what yin and yang is? She says up, I say down. It seems like we're arguing all the time, but it's just the yin and yang of a relationship that you have, right? And my son-in-law mentioned it to me. He said, yesterday, don't you guys agree on anything? So, oh, heck yeah, we do. We agree on most stuff, but it's a buffer. The yin and the yang is just kind of a buffer, because if she didn't buffer me, I'd be doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And if I didn't buffer her, she would be whatever. You get it, right? The relationship, the idea of a relationship. And so being married is so hard to do. Michelle and I have been married, honey, I'm sorry, 42, I don't know, long time, 40 some years. And I love her. I love her so much. And I mean, it's just unbelievable, right? So I'm going to show you two clips here. This is pretty interesting. And I'm not, Dr. Phil here trying to straighten out all your relationships, okay? But I think this kind of stuff is important. Why do people get divorced? So he's talking to a divorce attorney and asks the question, why do people get divorced? In other words, why do relationships fall apart? And I thought this was pretty amazing. Go ahead.
People get divorced.
I feel like this is like, what is a woman? Because they don't want to be married anymore. Now, why do people get divorced? I think there's a lot of reasons why people get divorced. If I was going to take like a big answer for that.
Yeah, I'll narrow it down. What do you think is the main, what we often hear is that money is the main reason people get divorced. Is that true in your experience?
I don't think that's true at all. That's not true in my experience. I think money is a source of tension between people. It gives people something to fight over. I will actually say, now that I represent people primarily in the high net worth space and even ultra high net worth space, like hundreds of millions of dollars, that the more money people have, the less incentive they have to be reasonable with each other, because the money doesn't really mean anything anymore. So if they spend $2 million in counsel fees, they don't really care. And if they got an extra million or two in the divorce, they don't really care. Because if you're getting $100 million, getting $102 million isn't going to change your quality of life that much. So I don't think money conflict is really like the precipitating factor of people's divorces. More commonly, people say infidelity, cheating. And cheating is absolutely present in a majority of the cases that come into a divorce lawyer's office in some form, whether it's an emotional affair, whether it's a physical affair, whether it's a dalliance or like a long-term affair, like a full relationship. Those are very commonly present. But I think it's actually overly simplistic to say that was the cause of the divorce, because I think fundamentally marriages end because of disconnection. I think we fall in love very fast. Like, love is an emotion and love is a verb. It's an action. So like the emotion of love, you feel very quickly. You feel attraction. You like this person. Everything they say is funny. They brush past you and it sends a tingle through you. Like, we've all been there. But that's not a real foundation to build something on, you know? And if it causes you to stop seeing this person clearly and talking about important things like shared values, shared upbringing, like what is our worldview and what was it put together by? And, you know, what are our thoughts about faith or what the goal of life is or the meaning of life is? We don't have some commonality towards that. So I think what really happens is we fall out of love the way we go bankrupt, which is very slowly and then all at once. And divorce is what happens when you get to the all at once. But to say that the infidelity was the cause, no. The disconnections back earlier, that's when you could have steered out of this thing by trying to figure out a way to either reconnect or better, stay connected.
Here on me, I'll get to it. Yes.
Why did you get divorced?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Disconnect. Reconnect, loss of emotional connection. I think that's it. I would say that most extramarital affairs begin because of the lack of emotional connection with our spouse. I think it is as sad as it is. And so I would just say to all of us to make that emotional connection every day. I'm not bragging. I tell Michelle 20 times a day that I love her. Constantly remind, especially after we yin it and yang it, right? Say, daggone, man. Oh, honey, sometimes you piss me off. Dang, I love you. I sure love you, right? And so I want to piggyback at Joe has something he wants to say. Don't give us a full legal description here, because I'll get ready for me. Get number one ready for me then. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, Coach, you said earlier about doing something kind or saying something nice to people a little bit. And yet last night at our prophetic class, very in the early part of it, someone brought up this short little prayer that seems to make a huge difference for them in exactly this context. It was, Father, I ask and receive grace for this day. Grace that we can give and share to others. Not grace that we're benefiting from the Lord, but grace that we share in our lives.
Amen. Amen.
I just got a Holy Spirit confirmation that works. So,
amen. Amen. Michelle and I are partners in life. In fact, the Bible says we're two became one. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty out there, right? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're struggling in your relationship, it's because there's an emotional disconnect. Emotional disconnect. Go to your spouse and say, hey, let's go out and get a sandwich. Whatever it would be. Hey, let's drive out and look at the sunset. Let's drive down. Whatever it would be. Whatever it would be. Try to make that emotional reconnection. Because I look at my life, Michelle and I, 40 how long time, 40-some years together, the things that we've been through, and how deep and strong our relationship is. And I can't imagine starting over again at age 71. Although some people do, I guess, but I can't imagine it. And having said that, I want to show you this. Because this really, Martin sent this to me yesterday. This really blessed me. Number one, Spence. These elderly couples prove that lifelong love is not a myth.
I've loved you for 80 years, honey. That's a long time.
Hello. Papa Tavares, Valentine's Day. And you my Valentine every day. And I love you like a bushel and a peg.
Hello.
And a hug around the neck.
I love you, dog. Love you. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it looks better.
Ain't hurting, is it? No, I'm not poor.
A million
He's sweet.
Times.
He is sweet.
You went away in my heart. And with you.
He likes
you. Yes, he does.
What you say?
He likes me.
Yeah, I like you.
Thank you.
And you can bring it to your chemo treatments, and it'll be like he's right there with you.
I know it was your favorite picture ever.
Boy, it's a process for sure, isn't it? Huh? It's a process for sure. And I know that really our marriage, our love for each other deepened when I realized that I needed to love her as much as I love me. That's a pretty good line, by the way. You gotta love your spouse as much as you love you. We can get that. Greater love is no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. So no matter where you are in your marriage and in your walk, man, it's never too late to reignite it. Never, never, never too late. Never too late.
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to encourage you all out there. Keep fighting for it. Keep fighting for your marriage. The day's going to come. I say this to Michelle all the time. I can't imagine. I want to die first. I cannot imagine lying in my bed at night and she's not there. I can't even think about that. And, you know, it's a real tearing. It's a real tearing when you lose a spouse. Hey, I'm not trying to be morbid today. Just, hey, love that person. Love that person. Amen. Okay, can I move on? Anybody got a comment on that? Not trying to make anybody feel bad. Yeah, Craig, go ahead.
Well, Coach, you know, we marry for the 20s. We don't marry someone for the 70s and 80s, like that picture there, right?
That's when it really matters, though, brother. The 70s and 80s is when it really matters.
And we don't ask, you know, we don't have that relationship with God. It's like, Lord, you pick the person, right? You see down the road. We marry someone that we want. And then we take it and we say, okay, well, God, all right, now I'm in this position. Fix it. He's like, brother, did I tell you that was the one? But the thing is, remember that guy, the whittler? Okay. Yeah. My wife, she's a strong-willed woman. We're back and forth and all that type of stuff. I think most of us are, right? Because, you know, he's whittling me. She, you know, she's making me a better person in areas that I can't make myself a better
Amen.
Person.
Amen.
And God's using her as that instrument. And sometimes it makes me frustrated. But yeah, you know, it's all right.
That's that yin and yang, man. I mean, that's that yin and yang, right? I'm the cockeyed optimist. Thank God Michelle's not. She's always reeling me back in, right? Always reeling me back in. So
you remember a few years ago, I said, Coach, these people want me to marry them, and I don't know exactly why. I'm sitting here at their house, and it filled a dump trailer up because the guy left. And now I got six kids. I feel like you. I feel like I'm at Coach Dave's house. I have these six kids, and it's like at my house until we get this place back to order. And she's coming to the Lord because of this situation.
Mm.
And I didn't really, you know, it's like, and I don't know if their marriage is completely over. I'm hoping that it isn't, but it's a process. It's a process.
Man. It's a process, man. He endureth to the end. Roger.
So I, you know, in the area of divorce, I do a little bit of that in the office. Not much anymore. It's so cantankerous and difficult, but I want to speak to those more that have gone through divorce, because it's hard, and there's reasons, and you can heap a lot of guilt on yourself or on your partner. Don't do that. For those of us that have a marriage that has lasted, praise be to God, what, you know, for that. But I'm always sensitive to the people that have gone through it, because we don't know all the stories, you know, we don't know all the reasons. I'm not supportive of it, biblically, pagany, whatever you want to call it. But there's a lot of pain and hurt that lingers, and
betrayal.
I'm just sensitive to that concept of, for those of us that have seemed to have been able to hang on for just one time, praise be the Lord Jesus. For those that have not, have had some difficulties, we don't know every story, and boy, there are some stories, believe me, out there. And so I'm just sensitive as I hear this topic, because it's one that needs to be talked about at times.
Yeah,
really does, Dave. It really does. But I'm sensitive, and we all should be sensitive to our friends that we care for and love for. We don't know all the story of what happened, why it happened. But the word betrayal is a good word, Dave.
Yep. Yep.
Infidelity is throughout these situations. Narcissism, sometimes you just have married a jerk and he doesn't show himself till later. The healing is Jesus Christ. The healing is Christ. When I think of Cindy and I and the ups and downs of any marriage, some reason the Lord has kept it woven together. And it was through our faith in him that kept us moving in the right direction at times. So, you know, that's all I got.
Amen. Amen. I didn't want to get all emotional here. I didn't want to do it. This is where we all live, though, isn't it? This is where we live. Tim Tuber, come on in, Tim. And then no more after Tim, because I want to go somewhere real quickly. Go ahead,
Hey,
Tim.
Coach, since you talked about not healing your members, chapter 6 says, Romans, don't you know you're dead? Don't you know you died in Christ? You're crucified. Therefore, if you knew you're dead, you wouldn't have any kind of problems.
That's right.
You wouldn't live after the flesh. Yeah. You wouldn't get divorced because you're a dead person. You're living for the other person.
That's right. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder, right?
Well, yeah, Coach, let me say this. The average Christian does not know that they died. Chapter 6 says, don't you know? So the average Christian is living in stupidity. There you have it.
Amen. Amen. Dead man. Yes. Boy, my wife has died to herself, I'm telling you. Wow. Sacrifices she makes. Thanks, Tim. I want to move on because the Lord gave me this morning. It's funny how, you know, that sounds really, really spiritual and religious. But the truth of the matter is, if this thought came out of nowhere, and I know I know the Holy Spirit. And so I did some research on it, and that was, Bible teaches that, maybe somebody can find the scripture for me real quick. For he to know to do good and not to do it, to him it is sin. You got, anybody know where that is? Can somebody dig that up real quick? For he to know to do good, there it is. Thank you, James 4:17. Pull that up there if you can, James 4:17. If anyone then, that's NIV, that's Sissy Bible. Get rid of that Sissy Bible. If therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Now, I want you to stop right there. It seems to me that scripture right there does not dissolve me of responsibility. I can't say, well, I don't want to get involved. Right? I don't want to get involved. It's none of my business. And you see somebody struggling, you see something going on that you know is not right. And we know that we ought to intervene, but we don't intervene because we don't want to offend somebody. We think it's none of our business or whatever it is. The Bible says for you to know to do good and not to do it to him, it is sin. And I thought, Lord, what is that? He said, well, that's a sin of omission. Omission. See, you can break the law. You can create a crime by something you do, a sin of commission. You committed it, or a sin of omission. Meaning what? You knew it and didn't do anything about it.
Boom.
So getting back to what went on with our son, I did a sin of omission. I knew it. Now, I didn't understand the legal system the way I should have, the way I understand now. And I was going to make it right. I wanted to go make it right, not understanding that that's not the way that the justice system works anymore. It's not about that anymore, right? But we find ourselves, see, I've often said this, the five worst words in the English language are, I saw that one coming. I saw that one coming. I saw that one coming. You saw it coming, you didn't do anything about it? Boys and girls, that's a sin of omission. You should have intervened. Why didn't you intervene? So I thought, man, oh man, oh man. We talk of people, I sin every day in thought, word, and deed. Well, maybe some of the sins that I'm committing are things I ought to be doing that I'm not. Not things that I did, but things I didn't do. They're teaching kids in my public school down here that little boys can be little girls. And they use my tax dollars. I didn't do anything about it because I didn't want to get involved. I didn't have school, children in school. I'm talking to me now, not you. I'm going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord's going to say, all those things you commit, they're okay. They're all right. But coach, what about this? You knew that they were doing this, and you didn't get involved. You didn't stand up for me. You didn't speak truth in that situation. You didn't rescue those unjustly led to slaughter. You didn't do that, coach. Sins of omission. So I thought, my goodness, is there such a thing as a crime of omission? And then I began to think about our elected officials. Stop, time out a minute. How many people do you think who swore an oath to the Constitution of the United States, elected officials in Washington, D.C., that know Joe Biden's not competent? How many people would you think that would be? Huh? How many people would you think that would be? Thousands, thousands of people. We joke about it, right? We joke about it. I'm with Bumbling Joe. Look, he's shitting his pants, right? I'm just telling you what's going on. We're laughing about the most powerful position in the world. And how many of those local officials, how many of those officials who swore an oath to the Constitution have committed the crime of omission? Point number five. Did you know omission is a crime? Did you know that? What is a crime of omission? I love the internet. There's no reason why we're still dumb. There's just no reason. Now you got to filter it through what's true and what's not true. But if we didn't have the internet, how would I find out what is a crime of omission? How would I have to? I'd go to the law library somewhere. Now it's right under my fingertips. So what is it? An example of a crime of omission? A crime. Omission or the failure to act can sometimes be grounds for criminal liability. Can you say Congress? Failing to pay taxes, child support, alimony are a few recognizable examples of omission. Now, I don't agree with that, though. But what's an example of omission? Omission is defined in the act of omitting or leaving something out, piece of information or thing that is left out. An example of omission is information left out of a report. So we see all of these news reporters giving us one side of the evidence, seeing guys go to J6 and they're not allowed to tell the truth about what happened in the trial for fear of making the judge. See, the judge is committing a sin of omission, of not giving him the right to be able to explain why he did what he did and the extenuating circumstances. And if they don't let you do that, that is a crime, folks. It's a crime of omission. So what is a crime of omission? Criminal omission is based on the theory that failure to perform a legal duty when one has the capacity to do so is a substitute for the commission of a crime. So when a judge sits in the courtroom and will not permit you to have your God-given constitutional right to defend yourself, that's a crime of omission, friends. Huh? Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, it sure is. Scroll on down, Spencer. What is an act? What is an act of omission? Give an example. Well, I just gave you one, which is a type of criminal offense. Both omissions, failure to report and failure to intervene, are criminal omissions only if the defendant had a legal duty, not just a moral duty. Oh. So now you only report a crime because you have a legal duty, not a moral duty. But you're going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to be judged on what we should have done and didn't do, not whether it was legal or not, whether it was moral or right or not. Can an omission be a criminal act? Is it possible that every one of those guys who swore an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States are not coming clean about Joe Biden? Is that a crime of omission? Is that a criminal act? An omission to act can only be criminal when the law imposes a duty to act. Hey, Roger. Huh? When I take an oath to defend, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, does that mean if I'm a Democrat, I don't report on Democrats? Is that what is it? Or is it if I know that that is a violation of the law, do I have a moral obligation to do something about it? And if I don't, is it a violation of the law? And I think it says yes.
Well, I'll go even further. I think our Constitution says we're to overthrow the document if our people are not following it.
That's right. Right? So we know it, right? We know it. How many of those guys know Joe Biden's not competent? I don't care what his politics are. He's not competent. How many of those guys in Washington, D.C. know what they're doing to the J6er is unconstitutional? They have a right to a speedy trial. No trial. Do those guys know it? Well, of course they know it. That's a crime of omission. It doesn't matter politics. Democrat, Republican. The Democrats don't want to help the Republicans. The Republicans don't help. No. You have a moral obligation to obey the law, to uphold the Constitution. So a felony, what is a felony omission? A felony is defined under the code as an act of omission punishable by law committed through culpa or dolo. The words punishment by law means that the act or omission must be defined and punished by the revised code and no other law. So what is omitted in criminology? An act of omission, which is the result of a misapprehension of facts that is voluntarily but not intentional. Would I be wrong to say that any Democrat who knows that Joe Biden was taking money under the table is criminally liable if he doesn't report it? Roger, would that be safe to say, Roger? He knows it and didn't report it after having sworn an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Yes or no, friends? Yes or no? Keith, come on in.
Not preaching about a flat earth.
Well, again, we get caught up into this web of proof and not proof, true and not true, and all that kind of stuff, yeah. Right?
Right.
So what is the obligation? See, that's a whole different thing that you brought up. What's the obligation of the guy standing in the pulpit? Can he choose to not tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Scroll on down a little bit, Spencer. I got a great web. Hang on, Spencer. Real quick. Oh, this goes. Is it impossible crime Is it impossible crime a crime, yes or no? Impossible crime is a crime of a last resort, right? Well, what are the four conditions that must be met? So, folks, man, oh, man, oh, man, we are so behind the eight ball. Real quick, bring up number eight. Oh, I only got 5 minutes. I don't have time. Bring up number eight, Spencer. Oh, this is so good. Put this in the chat. And I say, police, sheriffs, military judges, government officials, remember and honor your sacred oath to our Constitution and to our country. Scrolling down, Spencer. I wish I had more time. I only got 4 minutes. I don't have time. Huh? The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, and anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. What the oath of office means, I take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. It's a presidential oath. There's a congressional oath. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, against even the Republicans and Democrats, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me God. If they took that oath and they know Joe Biden's crap in his pants because he's incompetent, they're a criminal. Anybody think I'm wrong? Anybody think I'm wrong? They're a criminal. What's the oath of the federal judge? Huh? What's that? I do solemnly swear that I will administer justice without respect to persons. Give me a stinking break. And do equal right to the poor and the rich, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform all the duties and incumbents on me according to the best of my abilities and understanding agreeably to the Constitution of the laws of the United States. So help me God. So then why do we have Republican judges and Democrat judges? What the heck's going on here? So it goes on to oath of office. Put this in the chat so people can do a little bit of research on their own. And so if we're going to talk about restoring the nation, this is where we have to do it. We have to have constitutional sheriffs who will go arrest people for not doing what they're required by law to do. I'm talking about public officials. We can't have them running around snooping in people's lives. That's not what I'm talking about. Not what I'm talking about. But things would be a little bit better. See, there's no church discipline anymore. No church discipline. What about, let's get into, well, I'm not going to go there. Don't have enough time to go there. What do you think? Huh? Equal justice tour. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And you put an elected official in the office, and he's supposed to enforce the law no matter what political party either one of them belong in. And that's not what lawyers do. Sorry, Rog. That's not what lawyers do. If I go out and hire Roger Weaver to be my attorney, I want him to beat the law for me, not follow it. Somebody say amen. I want to hire a good attorney that can trick and beat and look for loopholes in the law. How does a man of God be an attorney and do that? You say, well, the business is, coach, that's the way the profession works. My client hires me to get him out of trouble. Does that involve lying? Does that involve covering things up? Does that involve not giving all the information? Or should we all be required, by the way, exculpatory evidence? The court in Washington, D.C. is supposed to give us exculpatory evidence on every one of those guys charged with J6 by law. If we want justice, that's where we are in America. Justice isn't blind anymore. Republican judges, Democrat judges, federal judge, all this, right? All this. And why has that happened? Well, it's happened because the Lord loves justice and judgment. We don't love judgment and justice. We don't love it. We want to avoid it. It's payday coming. Have a great weekend. See you tomorrow. See you Monday.